Hi, welcome to the podcast. My name is Doug, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm a recovering sex addict. And this is episode 94, which is awesome. We are coming up on that number 100. So it's been a while. If you're following in real time, it's been a while since I've recorded one of these. I am sitting in a hotel in Tennessee and thought, this is a great time to just crack open the laptop with the microphone that's built in. So if the audio is bad, that's why. But we're just going to record some thoughts from my iPhone part two, which I think I did a part one of this a few probably months ago now. But this is just thoughts from my iPhone that I've jotted down. But before I get into all that, there's just a couple things. Number one, just, like I said, it's episode 94. I kind of have episode 100 on my radar. Like, that's what I want to get to. That's where I want to go. And not because George is going to fly me to Hawaii to do it or anything fun like that. But I feel it's time to find a new voice for the podcast. You know, I've done what I can do. I know that I've touched lives, and that means a lot to me, but it's been good for my recovery. It's been good for me. I've talked to people that have changed my life in positive ways. It's been a wonderful thing. But I'm afraid that I'm not able to give the time and the energy that I once could. But I also know that there's people out there that are just more talented, that have a better reach, that know other people they could talk to or take it in a whole nother direction. So I've been praying for months that this person knows who they are and that this person either listens to this or will be tapped on by somebody who does, but knows that, hey, in the next few months, this is something that I want to take on. This is something that I want to do. It does involve trying to keep George out of the mix. So that's a tough part of the job, but really just needs to be somebody that has a heart, can talk into a microphone, and really just look for other experts that are out there. So just pray that the right person comes along as I pass this baton to. And if that's you, please reach out, puritypodcast@castamonia.org. And that will let us know that it's really is time, that God is preparing this. And I know that he is. Keith and I are working on some things. Keith and I are working on a curriculum that we want to use for men's retreats. So as you start to, in your churches, look for ways that you can get men together to do something that's real and shed our facades and do those things. Keith and I are knee deep in this curriculum that we want to write and we want to put out there. So I really want to dedicate more time to that effort, more time to that work, because I think so much can be done in a setting like that. I've been to so many retreats that are just fake, that are just, you know, they had good intentions, but they just didn't get at the heart of the matter. I sat in those as an addict and I lied to those around me. I pretended I was perfect. I did those things. And so I want to create a space where maybe that doesn't happen for somebody else. So again, just pray for that endeavor as well, that Keith and I go down that. But if you're a person that knows this is for you, just let us know again at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. All right, so let's jump in. Let's just get going with notes from my iPhone part two. It's just a little bit of a follow-up to one of the more recent podcasts that I did where we're seeing what we want to see. Remember those ideas that when we're at a football game or a volleyball game, you know, one side of the stand sees a call or a play a certain way, and then the other side sees it exactly the opposite. We're all the same educated adults with this, roughly the same view, but we see it completely different. And it's our viewpoint. It's how we look at it. And so I want to talk more about that today. How our mood, how our perspective, how gratitude changes the way we see things. So as an example, look at yourself in the mirror. Look at your kids. Look at your spouse. Look at your house. Look at your car. Look out the window at a scene in nature. You can see that as a really amazing thing, or those things as amazing. You can also say, I want to nitpick those and look at the things that I don't think are perfect or imperfections and look at how they're bad. I can look at my house and I can see the amazing thing that is for me. Or I could look at my house and see all the things that are wrong with it and have such a negative attitude. And I've done that for far too long in relationships, in my marriage, with my kids, like expecting perfection as the standard. And really that creates only disappointment. Again, you see what you want to see. Have you seen that at play as you've listened to that podcast? Did you see it in any practical ways happen for you? Did you see it come about maybe with kids that you might personally have, seeing them in that scenario? I find it's really eye-opening as that really starts to happen. I want us to think about that perspective, and I want myself to think about the perspective as being larger than just our issues, right? So today may not be about sex addiction, but it's really about a larger issue that encompasses our heart and encompasses a whole lot more than that. You know, it helps us to be able to find a way that we're not comparing to perfect, because everything's going to let you down when you do. And I didn't know that all my life I had perfection as a standard, but I really did. And so I was probably disappointed 99.99999% of the time. Disappointed in me, disappointed in those around me, disappointed in about everything. That's a really sad existence. And I've did that for way more decades of my life than I would care to admit freely. That perfection cannot be the standard. And that's what the evil one wants us to believe. That thinking drives a comparison game that drives addiction, pornography abuse, fantasy. We can't find perfection in our lives, in our circle, so we start to look for it elsewhere. We start to say, where can I find perfection? That's far from perfect too, but again, we're just choosing what we want to see. That grass is always greener on the other side. These adages always seem to kind of come back up. So when we start to choose what we want to see, oh, she's perfect, or that's perfect, that's what I'm going to put my focus on. All of a sudden, the evil one's drawn me away. I've taken the bait again, and I've fallen for something that's just not true. I just think that this escape from reality to find perfection, it exists in so many ways in our lives, that there's just always something out there ready to lie to you, ready to put it in your heart that there's something perfect for you that you're missing out on, that you don't have. And when we start to listen to that, we don't like what we do have. We start to look at our imperfection and look for ways to fill that in inappropriate ways. Why do we fall for that lie over and over and over? I do think it is the addiction cycle, if we were to put it in scientific terms. But we need to see it as what it is. It's a lie from the evil one. I've actually heard the quote that envy can be described as, I'm not loving me and I'm not loving you either. It's only about hate. I'm not loving me and I'm not loving you. That's envy. Because I can be happy for somebody that has better whatever than I have. But when I'm envious, I'm not loving them either. And I'm not loving myself. That's a dangerous place to be. It's kind of like this idea I heard recently. It's in my notes here. That zealous and jealous, zealous with a Z, they're only different by one letter, right? So we don't talk about being zealous too much in our culture anymore. But we're changing one letter. So we're taking something that's a negative, like jealousy, and turning that into something like being zealous. So it's taking this negative and turning it into a positive. We don't have to have envy be our driver anymore. We can think about how we can become more zealous for those positive things in our lives and look at those things and be reminded of how great those are. So I think that's just a positive thing to think about. How can I take envy and jealousy and change that into a positive driver for my life? You know, part of this idea is also this thought about, do we want to get well? Something that comes to mind for me is the story of Jesus and the paralytic. And what does Jesus ask the man that's trying to get into the water? Do you want to get well? And I've thought so much in my life, like, duh, of course he wants to get well. Why is he laying here every single day? Why is he asking everyone to help him in the water? But really, does he want to get well? And I've thought about that in my own addiction. Did I want to get well? We complain about a lot of things in our life, but yet we stay in the same cycles of doing the same things just because that's what we know. And the known is safe, even if the known is really from the evil one, or the known is harmful to us. We're willing to stay in that. So ultimately, I was able to get out of that, but it took a lot. It took me figuring out how to start it. And that starting seemed like too much work to overcome. So I heard this recently from a guy in recovery who was basically saying something to the effect of, I want to start recovery. I want to become better. But can I just do it from this moment forward? Like, I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to look at all that junk. I don't want to bring it up to my wife. I don't want to work on it. I needed to say, I'm going to stop now the inappropriate behavior and then never do it again. right? And I made that promise to God probably 100 times in my life. Like, okay, I'm done. I promise. I'm never going to do X, Y, or Z again. Like, let me just go forth and sin no more. Right? This sounds great. It sounds great for a lot of reasons. It sounds great because we don't have to address the past. It sounds great because we don't have to bring other people into it. It sounds great because we can live, you know, a guilt-free rest of our life. But it reminds me of this idea of what if our house was like super dirty, like filthy, like one of those TV shows with like hoarders, right? Like just, it's just gross. Maybe it's not that gross, but it's filthy, right? So our house is filthy. And I decided, you know what? From now on, I'm never going to live a dirty existence in my home. I'm going to clean every dish. I'm going to put away things when I use them, but I'm not going to go back and I'm not going to clean my house. I'm just going to start from here on. So from here forward, I will hang up my shirts. I will iron them. I will wash them. But all the other stuff that's out, I'm just going to leave it out because I can't deal with all that. So my question is this, is your house clean or is your house dirty? Your house is still a mess, right? Your house is still filthy. Your house is actually as bad as it's ever been. Just because you're leading a little bit better life now or trying to do things a clean way doesn't clean any of your existence in the past. And in fact, what I think is really interesting about this is eventually if we were in that type of mindset, we would give up. We would just say, oh, what's the point? My house is filthy. I'll just forget it. I'm going to start being dirty again. I'm going to just leave more dishes out. I'm going to let it pile up. Eventually, it would get worse because what's the point? I unfortunately think our addictions can be the same way. If we were to just try to, from day now, whatever day now is, if we were to try to go forward and just say, we're just not going to mess up anymore, we're eventually going to say, oh, what's the point? Right? My life is, I've had all this other issues. What's the point of one more time or this X, Y, or Z action? We really have to go all the way back to the beginning. There's no way to start from here, so to speak, in recovery. And that's the hard news. That's the stuff that's like, yeah, I don't know if this is for me. Like I hear from people because that's too hard. But I can tell you, you're not alone. Hundreds of men that I know are going through this, have gone through this. They're working on trying to clean out a lifetime of crud, right? We're trying to clean this filth. And it's as true as any adage that I know, you do it one step at a time. It sounds as cliche as I could probably say anything. It's literally one step at a time. If I go back to my house analogy, it's going through our junk one piece at a time. Do I want to clean this? Do I want to throw it away? Do I want to donate this? Okay, next. Do I want to clean this? Do I want to keep this? Do I want to throw this away? Do I want to donate? Going through every item until I've gotten through everything. And then starting to clean every surface until I've gotten through everything. It would take a long time. But when you're done, you have something to be proud of. And you have something that's way easier to keep clean. Because now it's already clean. So at night, I can just wipe the counters down and I'm done. Or I can sweep on the weekends or whenever I sweep and it's done. Recovery is hard, and that like a cleaning process of this house would be hard because it highlights so much yuck, so much of our weaknesses, of which I personally have a ton. So the Bible tells us to boast in our weaknesses, and that's kind of funny, right? So we're supposed to be proud of the things that we suck at, right? That just seems weird. And I don't have the answers to how this all works, but if we were all about strength, we would not, number one, need a savior. We would not need to be rescued. But I don't think we'd be attractive to other people. And I don't mean attractive in a sexual way. I just mean like people want to be around us. Because I think about the people that I'm drawn to, that I want to be friends with, they're real. And what makes somebody real? That they're not perfect. That I know they have weaknesses. That I know they're struggling with things. So I think of like, churches, right? Churches have revivals. They have nights where we have guest speakers that come in. We have all these events where people come and highlight all the junk that they were doing wrong and then how God came in and saved them and the work they're doing. We give them standing ovations. We're drawn to that. We talk about that at lunch after church. How amazing was that they shared this? Because we're drawn to it. We want to be connected with those that are real. And I think people are real when they show their weaknesses. We've seen it in lots of ways in the Bible, that God chose those with weaknesses to do great things. I also think God chose those with weaknesses because that's the only option he had. That was everybody out there on the planet. I don't always read from the Bible on this podcast. I try to talk about recovery in terms of obviously from a Christian perspective, but about higher power and things where we don't always have to look directly into scripture. But there was one that stood out to me as I was prepping for this that I wanted to read. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And where I'm picking up is in verse 12. So it says, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise." So again, it says, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. And then it goes about how do you boast, and boasting somewhat in your weaknesses by staying in your sphere that of people you have influence. Comparing yourselves with yourself, like, how much of my life did I do that? Where I was like, I'm not that bad. I'm better than I used to be. Or I'm better than Jim Bob on the corner. I've seen it in recovery too, where it's like some guy slips, but I didn't do what so-and-so did. Or, yeah, that wasn't my best move. I kind of lost my temper there, but at least I didn't blah, blah, blah. Comparing yourselves with yourself is for weak people. I've done it. I've been a weak person. I still do it, but it's not my goal. I have a standard that Christ set. I have a standard that I know in my heart to be truth. And you do too. You know what the standard is. You know when you miss that standard or are settling for less than that standard. And I want to encourage you not to. That you are strong enough. You are a person of power enough that you can hold to that standard. And yes, we're going to fall. We're going to miss the standard, but get back up and keep that being the standard. Not trying to run below the standard, but not as bad as everyone else. I like to think of God's line as this, like if we think of this straight line, this horizontal line going across, right? That's God's expectation, if you will. And I think the world is moving away from that line. So you think of a line that's going in a downward trend. Now, we can stay above the world's line, but we'd still be going in a downward trend. Or we can try to hold even with that horizontal line, and we'll never run up there with that horizontal line, but we don't have to take that downward trend. Random, right? So there's a lot that we wanted to kind of unpack there. Hopefully there's a few things that hit you, that lands on your heart or your ears or your mind in a way that you can absorb that and look for, how do I put this in my own life? How do I do this in a way that I can make a difference, that I can boast in my weaknesses, and that I can start to not expect perfection everywhere I go? And if you're someone that's been listening this long and you don't know what to do, and you're like, I've started from here, basically. I've started without going back and digging in. Find ways to start to do that with a counselor, with friends, with family members that are safe, in a way that you could start to unpack all the things that have created who you are today. The good, the bad, the ugly, the great. There's everything has to be learned of the path that you took to get there. Email us at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. We have lots of resources. We'd love to share those kind of things. Let us know if there's some ideas for the podcast that you want to put out there. Or if you want to record your testimonial and you're like, hey, I don't want to record the whole podcast. I don't want to be the guy, but I would like to at least do a testimonial. Great. We'd love to get that recorded and moving. Continue to pray. Pray for just the transitions and things that as they happen. And know that we are all walking on this road of recovery. And that as you're walking, you are not alone.